Good evening. Let me begin by thanking the elders and the congregation here for the opportunity to come and study with you. As Mitch mentioned, I have been given the privilege to study with you before in the summer series, and I greatly appreciate that. And we have a good crowd this evening, and we have a great opportunity to come indoors for a little bit and study from God's Word. And the Psalms are a great study. They give us a better picture of life. They hopefully draw us closer to God so that we have a better relationship with God. And it's a great thing to study the Psalms. You know, we can sing the Psalms. We can read them, of course, and we can pray them. We can take the wording of the Psalms and include them in our prayers. And I believe that that makes us a better individual in God's eyes, to draw closer to Him, to draw and have a better relationship with Him. So the Psalms are just a great study. As has been mentioned, if you'll turn to Psalm 37 this evening, we will be looking at that. And as you're turning over there, I wanted to mention that for the past 3 years at Memorial Boulevard in Springfield, we have been taking one quarter, we have been dedicating one quarter to the study of the Psalms. And we are trying to take them in consecutive order without skipping any. And we are, the brother who's taking my place this evening back home is teaching Psalm 60 this evening. We've done 60 Psalms. And I just wanted to mention that if you go to the website, my website, those are, those previous lessons are under the Bible classes heading. And there you will find, individual lessons for the students, that have questions on each verse of the Psalm, practical applications. There are PowerPoints for the teachers, and there are also songs that can be sung using the wording of the psalm, but to familiar tunes, so you're not having to learn new music. And we may have an opportunity to do one of those this evening. So I would encourage you, if you are wanting to study the Psalms more and want some material on that, you're certainly welcome to that. Print that off and use that as you would like. It's been good for me to go through those consecutively. We have workbooks among us, among brethren on the Psalms, good workbooks. Many of them skip around, and that's one thing that we found. And we just wanted to take them consecutive. I don't know of any other book of the Bible where we skip around. So we wanted to just take that chapter by chapter, and that's been good for us to do that. So if you would like that material, you're certainly welcome to that. This evening, we're looking at Psalm 37, and I've entitled it, The Security of the Righteous and the Insecurity of the Wicked. And this is a great psalm for us to study in our world that we're in today. I heard that there was another police shooting even today, but the recent shootings, of course, in New Orleans, the Baton Rouge area, Dallas, Orlando, and all kinds of immorality and wickedness and worldliness going on. We have reports of ISIS all the time and all kinds of threats and all kinds of problems. There's a lot of wickedness in the world. And as we try to raise our families and live right and do right in this wicked world, we may wonder about that. How do we live in a world that where we're just so surrounded by wickedness? Well, we've got to remember that that's nothing new to man. David lived in a time, especially when he was on the run from Saul, where there was wicked people around him, and he wrote some psalms in that context. And in doing so, he gives us some great material to learn how that we need to keep living righteous in a wicked world around us. If you look at Psalm 37, of course, it's attributed to David, and if he is, of course, the psalmist, he would have been surrounded by wickedness. That was especially in two parts of his life. There in 1 Samuel, on the run from Saul, and then even his own son, Absalom, revolted against him in the book of 2 Samuel. So he's surrounded by wickedness, and he wants to tell us how we can live in a wicked world. Look with me at Psalm 37 in verse 9. We can get a few key verses here. You're going to notice in this psalm that the wicked, that they are insecure. Their day is coming. God is going to judge them. But the righteous can live securely in the land if they will keep faithful to God. And look at that contrast as we go throughout the psalm. Look at verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but, there's your contrast, but those that wait for Jehovah, they shall inherit the land. Verse 17, the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but Jehovah upholdeth the righteous, and so forth. You'll see the contrast all throughout the psalm. The wicked have their day coming, they are insecure. Now, they look like the secure ones. They may have money. They may have power. They may have influence. And they look like they're just taking over the world. But in time, God has a plan for them to be taken away. And you just live righteously and faithfully, and you can remain on in a secure state. And so that really is the theme of Psalm 37. Now, when we study Psalms, we often talk about the types of Psalms, and understanding what type of Psalm it is helps us to understand the content. We might have, for example, Messianic Psalms, Psalm like Psalm 22, Psalms that speak about the coming of Jesus Christ. Those are called Messianic Psalms. We might have Psalms that are lament in nature, where the psalmist is lamenting his enemies and how he has adversaries and he's being oppressed and, Lord, help me from my enemies. So lament-type psalms. Some are praise psalms. Some are trust psalms. And we have these different kinds of psalms. Psalm 37 is didactic. That's just a fancy word that means teaching. It's a teaching psalm. Psalm 1 is like that, the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Psalm 19, that's a good didactic psalm. It just teaches us about the heavens declare the glory of God, teaching us about God's world and so forth. So teaching psalms. Psalm 37 is didactic in that it just simply wants to teach us about the righteous and the wicked. One thing that the ancient Jews did to help learn a psalm, and by the way, I might mention that they didn't study psalms like we're doing tonight, where we go down verse by verse. They would often sing them. It was their song book. We pick up our song book out of the pew. They picked up psalms and sang them. We're studying them. But in order to help sing or memorize or even quote a psalm, they would do something like this. They would take the first word in the first verse, and the word would start with the letter A. And it would be like going down through the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Their alphabet was a little bit different. But they would have a word that started with that letter. And in Psalm 37, every few verses starts with the word of the next letter in their alphabet. And that helped them to memorize those words. There were 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so these 22 words, they could memorize those words. And each letter was starting with that letter of the alphabet, and then that would help them to, oh yeah, I know the rest of that verse, and then they could quote it. And then remembering that first word would help them get started on the next verse. And so this is called an alphabetic acrostic psalm. It was a way of memorizing those words, different letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and then that would help them to put the whole psalm to memory. And so it's a didactic psalm, and number two, it is alphabetic acrostic. Now, we don't see it in the English. You're not going to notice that in the English. But if you were reading that in the ancient Hebrew, you would see every few words, hey, that's a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and that would help them to memorize that psalm. This psalm is didactic, and it hopes to teach some wisdom. Look at verse 30 with me. Psalm 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous talketh of wisdom, and his tongue speaketh justice. David is hoping to teach some wisdom in this psalm. And he wants to answer the age-old question, why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? It looks like the wicked are getting by with murder. And it looks like nothing's being done. What can we do, Lord, about that? And how can we live in that kind of world? And that's the question we all have. The book of Job deals with that. Another psalm that deals with that is Psalm 73. But we do that today. We turn on the news and we see one of these stories out of Dallas, Orlando, other places. And we just say, why? Why? Why is all this going on? And how can I live in such a world? These psalms teach wisdom. Now, we can get so discouraged that we quit. Or we can look at the wickedness around us and say, well, I'm just going to start doing that myself. We can have a number of different responses, but we have to have the right response, and that is we have to remain faithful to God. So it's teaching wisdom, verse 30, teaching wisdom on how to act when you're surrounded by a lot of wickedness. And when Pat called me and we were talking about the selection of this psalm, would you like to take Psalm 37? My first thought was, well, That's gonna be very appropriate to the world that we're in, because we're just surrounded by a lot of wickedness. So how do we live in such a world? And that's what this psalm is gonna help us answer. Look at verse 25 with me. If David is the psalmist, and these, what we call titles or subtitles, those were added by the Jews later. It's a long-standing tradition, and they attribute psalms to certain authors. But if David is this author, he's going to write this in his older age, after he's experienced a lot of things with regard to wickedness. Verse 25, I have been young and now am old. And I've just crossed over that 50 mark. I'll be 51 in October, and I can kind of relate to this idea of, you know, after you live a few decades, you really can, and the older brethren here, you can look back and see that this really is true. This really is true. I have not seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. And there have been so many times, brethren, in my own personal life that I can tell you that God came in right at the last minute and helped me out in a situation. He will never let his righteous be forsaken. And David had lived long enough to personally experience that. I've lived long enough to personally experience that. Maybe you have. You just think, well, this is it. This is the end of it. And then somebody comes along and does something to help you out. And I'm not just talking about financially, but in other kinds of ways. God will always take care of you. And so he's writing in his older age. And look at verse 25. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen. Look at that. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. This is what David experienced, what he had seen in life, and now through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's putting it down on paper to let you and I know many, many years later that this is the way God works in his world. And he's going to take the wicked away and he's going to uphold the righteous. Look at verse 35 with regard to the wicked. I have seen the wicked. These are personal experiences of David that are absolutely true. And you can put your trust in that. He encourages the righteous to trust in the Lord and not worry about the success of the wicked. We're going to read Psalm 37 in a minute, but look at the very first word of Psalm 37. Fret not yourself. And that's one thing we do. We get in the worry mode. We're bothered. And what about our children and our grandchildren? We get all worried and caught up about some things, but we just need to calm down and step back and take a big breath and trust in the Lord, and he will make sure that those things are right in his plan. So, encouraging the righteous to trust in the Lord and not worry about the apparent or short-lived success of the wicked. He also reminds the righteous that the success of the wicked is short-lived, and the wicked ultimately will be cut off. That really is the theme or the summation of Psalm 37. I wanted us to get the big picture before going into the details. The interesting thing about this psalm is, again, verse 30, it is a wisdom psalm, it is a teaching psalm, and when you read it, it kind of sounds like the book of Proverbs. And that's intentional. There are short little statements about the wicked, there are short little statements about the righteous, and it's very similar. We won't turn over, but if you look at verse 1, that's almost word for word, Proverbs 24:19. Almost word for word, Proverbs 24:19. And if you look at verse 16, that's almost word for word, Proverbs 15 and verse 16. And so short statements of wisdom about how the wicked are insecure, they're going to be taken away, and the righteous, they're faithful and trusting in the Lord, and the Lord's going to allow them to remain in the land. Now, we're going to go down through now Psalm 37, doing our reading, and that's one of the best things we can do this evening is just read the text. But if we were to divide up or outline the psalm, I would suggest this. Verses 1 through 11, there's going to be some exhortations. When we're surrounded by righteousness, you know, you turn on the news, you're in the car, you hear it again, it's everywhere, some shooting, some problem. We need to be exhorted, brethren, just to keep being faithful and not get sidetracked. And in the case of some, they just lose their faith, or they quit God. They get so bothered that maybe they even start living wickedly themselves. We need to be encouraged to live right and trust in the Lord. Number 2, verses 12 through 20, there are some warnings to the wicked. Now, if you're going to choose a wicked life, let me warn you about some things. Okay? You're going to have the life that's fun, and you're going to have a good time, and it's going to look like you're prospering and doing really well, but I'm here to warn you that your day is coming. So some warnings on the wicked. Verses 21 through 31, there are some promises. And we sing in our psalm book, standing on the promises. One of them is verse 25. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You can mark it down that that's the way it is. God's going to take care of you. That's a promise. Okay? So there's some promises, and that helps us get through a wicked world. And then last of all, verses 32 through 40, there are some assurances to both the righteous and the wicked. The wicked are told they're going to be destroyed, and the righteous are told they're going to be delivered. So, let's look now at Psalm 37. Let's look at verses 1 through 11 then, these exhortations. Psalm 37, verse 1. This is from the American Standard Version. Fret not thyself. We don't need to worry because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious of them. Some go out and they see the wicked and, well, I want to start doing that too. They're doing this and they're doing that and it looks like they're having a good time. I want to go be that too. No. And especially our young people. Well, I want to talk like that and dress like that and act like that. No, don't be envious of them. You're going to end up in a wicked world and you're going to be punished by God. Stay away from that. Don't fret. Don't be envious against them that work unrighteousness. For they shall soon be cut off and cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in Jehovah and do good. Look at it. Do good. That's an interesting exhortation. There's all this wickedness going on in the world today. We see it almost every day. We almost want to just sort of get in our shell and just, you know, maybe we come to services and go back home and we don't want to do much more than that. We want to retract and retreat. We need to be out doing good. Talk to people that are wicked. Talk, share the gospel with them. Invite them to services. Do good. We've got to remember that. It's easy to sit around and complain, and I've been guilty of that. Sherry says, our normal routine is in the morning, we get up early, and we go get our cup of coffee, and then we go sit down and watch the morning news. And we don't have Fox News, and so it's the liberal morning news. And after about 30 seconds, my blood pressure gets up, and I start getting mad, and Sherry says, no, wait a minute, we're here to enjoy our coffee. You're not allowed to preach. You're allowed to preach on Sundays, but you're not allowed to preach right now. But I start preaching, and I start shaking my finger. Did you hear that story? And all of this foolishness that's going on, the wickedness that's going on, the hatred, anger, shooting, killing, all of that. And I get worked up, but I've got to step back, and I've got to follow these encouragements just like we all do. And we need to be busy doing good. We need to be trusting in the Lord. We need to be feeding on His faithfulness. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Sometimes people will get angry and mad at God for all of these things going on. No, we need to be joyful. And He will give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto Jehovah. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. And He will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. Rest in Jehovah, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself. You see, that's repeated again. Well, I'm worried. I'm bothered. No, we need to leave that in the Lord's hands. We need to be out busy doing good, living right, trusting in the Lord. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And there are plenty of those in Dixon County and everywhere else. But we've got to let some of those things be handled by God. We need to stay busy doing good and living right. Here's another one, verse 8. Cease from anger. Well, I'm mad. And you get all mad and all worked up. And sometimes you might say or think or do something that's wrong. I'm not talking about righteous indignation. We need that. But we get angry and mad at something going on, and that might cause us to do something that is wrong ourselves. So that's another encouragement. Don't do that. Don't fret. Don't get angry. Don't stop doing good. A third time, fret not thyself. Look at it. It tendeth only to evil doing. So we're sitting there getting all worked up. And we might say something we shouldn't say or have an attitude we shouldn't have. You see, and then we find ourselves being an evildoer just like the folks that we're shaking our fist at on the television screen. For evildoers shall be cut off. God has a day for them. And yes, it's the judgment day, but sometimes it's even before that. Sometimes it's even before that. And so people who are engaged, you see this in Nashville and other places, they're engaged in all this kind of wickedness, they end up doing things where their own life is removed and they're taken out of the way. And here you are just living a good, righteous Christian life and you keep on living and they're taken out of the way because of their evil doing. But those that wait for Jehovah, they shall inherit the land. For yet a little while and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place and he shall not be. And we've got to remember that. And sometimes I do get worked up when I see the news and how is it that these people living these wicked, immoral lives, you know, they've got a big old mansion and they've got all kinds of money and they're doing this and they're doing that. In time, God causes them to be taken away. So I don't need to be looking at that enviously, wanting that. I don't need to be desiring that. I need to be living my righteous life. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the land and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, before we go any farther, look at verse 11. The meek shall inherit the land. Do you recognize that as anything in the New Testament? What if I said it this way? The meek shall inherit the earth. Does that sound a little bit more recognizable? It's one of the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. I want to take just a moment before we go any farther to delve into verse 11 just a little bit. Verse 11 is Jesus quoting Psalm 37, verse 11, and he says, "The meek shall inherit the earth." This is either a direct quotation from Psalm 37, verse 11, or at least a reference to it. And Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, I wanted to take a moment and sort of blow this up as an explanation because there is a thought out there that we're going to come back and live on a restored earth. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 that the earth and the works therein are going to be burned up. But there are some who don't believe that. They believe that heaven is actually going to be on earth. And one of the arguments that they use is this statement here in Matthew 5 and verse 5 that's taken from Psalm 37. The meek shall inherit the earth. And so the idea is that after the judgment day, the meek shall inherit the earth. We're going to come back and live on the earth. Now, we're probably most familiar with this with regard to our Jehovah's Witness friends. They'll pass out little tracts when they come door knocking and they'll talk about living in paradise or living on the earth. So we've heard it from them. Some premillennialists, of course, have taught this before where there's going to be a 1,000-year reign on the earth. But, unfortunately, it is also among some brethren. And it is among some institutional brethren. And probably the closest example to us here in Middle Tennessee would be a certain John Mark Hicks, who teaches at David Lipscomb. And he's teaching this on his website. And maybe even a little bit more closer to home, a brother that I know, we would say a conservative, non-institutional brother, has made this same point. So I wanted to mention this to you, good brethren, just to have your antenna up that you may hear it in time to come that some brethren are saying we're going to come back and live on a restored earth. Now, we obviously don't have time this evening to look at all of those arguments, but because we're looking at Psalm 37, I did want to deal with this one. So look at Psalm 37. It's a quotation from verse 11. The meek shall inherit the land or shall inherit the earth. I want to make 2 points. The first point is that this phrase that David is using refers to the peaceful living of the righteous Israelite on the earth in his day. He's talking about right now. You righteous people, you dwell in the land. You live in the land. The wicked, you're going to find them being cut off from time to time, but you're just going to go on living your life and you're going to enjoy your family and your home and your job. And look at what he says in verse 11. The meek. Look at that. That is the opposite. That is the opposite of what the world says. The world says, don't be meek and humble. You need to be aggressive. You need to be powerful and have pride. And if you're a person like that, you'll be able to have anything you want and hold on to it. David and Jesus, they actually say the opposite. It's the meek, quiet, humble person that gets to hold on to his things. And this wicked person who's out there cutting and conniving and running over people to grab things, he's actually the person that's taken away. So you and I, we're raising our family. We're trying to raise our kids right. We're trying to have good marriages. We go to church services. We read our Bible. We pray. We act like a good Christian. We're the ones that get to dwell in the land, is what David is saying. And it's a meek and humble and quiet spirit. It's not a pride and a power where you're trying to step on people to get things. And so it's actually the opposite of what the world teaches. But number one, David is talking about people in his day. He's not talking about in the future after the judgment day. And here's a second point that I'd like to make. That David says the righteous will inherit, or the meek will inherit the land, because they've been rescued from the wicked and the wicked have been cut off. There are a number of verses that talk about the wicked being cut off. You could go back and look at verse 2. They'll wither away and be cut down. Verse 10, yet a little while the wicked shall not be. They're going to be gone. Now listen very closely. The godly are living during the time of this psalm, and they're living during the time that the wicked are being cut off from them. In other words, they're seeing that. They see the wicked cut off from around them. This is not talking about a future time after the judgment day. And so when Jesus is quoting, listen carefully, when he's quoting Psalm 37, he's talking about things that can happen right now. While I am talking with you on the Sermon on the Mount, you can inherit the earth right now. You can see God. Blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who mourn. You'll be comforted. You can be filled with righteousness right now. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled right now. It's not talking about in the future. It's talking about godly living during the time of the psalmist. And this is very important. When the righteous are dwelling in the land and enjoying the blessings of God, and by the way, this is a time frame where God gave Palestine as the land promise. And David is saying you can remain in this land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can dwell in this land and you're going to see the wicked cut off. This is not for a future time. And I know that because it's at the same time that they see the wicked cut off. Look, turn with me to verse 18. Psalm 37, verse 18. This is not a future time when the only people on the earth are the righteous people and all the wicked have been sent off to hell in the future after the judgment day. No, look, it's right now. Jehovah knoweth the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be put to shame in the time of evil. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. There's a time and when they're surrounded by wicked and the wicked people, and they will see them being taken away. Look at verse 34. Wait for Jehovah and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. Look at it. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Thou shalt see it. Verse 34. So it's not off in the future, it's right now, David is saying. Right now, at the time that we are living, and David is ruling about 1000 BC, okay? Right now, you righteous people keep trusting in God, and you're going to see the wicked cut off from among you, and you're going to see yourselves, you meek and humble and trusting people, you're going to live on in the land. So I just wanted to say something about that. It's not talking about the future after the judgment day when some are going to come back and live on a restored earth. It's just simply not talking about that. So I wanted you to be mindful of that. Okay, back to our psalm now. Let's look at verses 12 through 20. There are a number of warnings, and I can see that I need to move ahead. So we'll just briefly look at some of these warnings. Look at verse 13. What does he say to the wicked? His day is coming. That's why we don't need to be wicked. Our day is coming if we're wicked. And there's going to be judgment for that. Look at verse 15. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. We see people who are worldly and wicked. The things that they're doing come back and hurt them. Their bows shall be broken. Verse 17, the arms of the wicked shall be broken. Verse 20, the wicked shall perish. They shall consume away. So warnings to the wicked that we don't need to go down that road and live wicked lives. And I know today, and again among, I think about my children and the young people, you look out there, the music and the movies, and you see all this kind of stuff, and a lot of it is wickedness, and you think, you know, well, I just want to taste that a little bit. I want to try that a little bit. It wouldn't hurt to just go out and do that a little bit. No, when we do that, we need to understand that God has a judgment for us. And so their day is coming. And so stay away from that. And then there are some promises, verses 21 through 31. Of course, they shall inherit the land. That's talking about in David's day. And when Jesus quoted it in Jesus' day, and even today, just the meek, that they hold on to their things, they live good lives, and God takes care of them. But the righteous are going to be taken care of, but verse 24, he shall not utterly be cast down. Jehovah will uphold the righteous. He's not going to be forsaken, verse 25. His seed is going to be blessed and so forth. A number of different promises. None of his steps shall slide. What a great promise, verse 31. And then at the end, some assurances. And so the wicked are going to be destroyed and the righteous are going to be delivered. Look at some of these assurances. Verse 33, Jehovah will not leave him in his hand. He will exalt thee to inherit the land. Thou shalt see it. He could not be found when it came time to look for the wicked man. And by the way, look at verse 35. He's spreading himself like a green tree, but one day he comes, you come by and you see he's cut down. That wicked person who drives that nice big fancy car, you know, and they got all the money and the nicest clothes, they got all this big stuff, one day down the road, they're cut down. So yes, there's an apparent success on the front end of it, verse 35, but later on, they're cut down. So don't go down that road. And then, of course, as we close, those assurances for the righteous. We can be happy. We can be in peace. We can have salvation, verse 39. We're going to be helped. We're going to be rescued. We're going to be saved. And so that is the psalm in a nutshell. Now, before we close, I wanted to look at some applications. Faith cures fretting. Faith in God, trusting God. We don't get up every day just worrying and bothered and stressed. We just live our life serving the Lord. And we need that kind of faith in our lives today. We are not to, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, to be anxious for tomorrow. And we're not to have that anxiety, Philippians 4, verse 6. The prosperity of the wicked is short-lived. So don't envy them. I wish I could be like them. It is a success that is short-lived. And our government, Romans 13, sometimes does some things with the wicked even before the judgment day. But Romans 2:9, in the judgment day, they will be taken care of. Do you know that we're supposed to act differently? Let's act differently here at Oak Avenue. Let's go out into the community in school and at work and act differently. Look at verse 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous dealeth graciously and giveth. Be different than the wicked world around you. And there's some other examples of that in the chapter. We are to be different from the world around us. We're not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the righteous will ultimately be saved. And so that's why each day we get up and serve the Lord. We're surrounded by all this wickedness. Why do we do it? Because ultimately we know God is going to save us. And what a great place. And we have the righteousness that takes us all the way to heaven. And in Revelation 19, verse 8, the righteous acts of the saints are what calls them to be the bride of Christ and join Christ in heaven, Revelation 19 and verse 8. Yes, we're surrounded by wickedness, but we need to learn to trust in the Lord and these other encouragements that are given along the way. Wait on Him. He's got a time plan. He will always do what is right. And so trust in the Lord. Paul did that, Philippians 2 and 24. And Peter tells Christians to do that very thing. When we're surrounded by wickedness, this is our last point. When we're surrounded by wickedness, look at verse 37. I love verse 37. Mark the perfect man. It's talking about the upright person. That's the person we need to be looking at. Brethren, when you get up each day, there's all kinds of wickedness in the world. But who are we to imitate? The godly elder, deacon, Bible class teacher, preacher, member of the church, the godly lady at Oak Avenue, whoever that is, mark that person. Let that person be your imitation and your example. We're surrounded by all kinds of wickedness, but we have great examples right in our midst. Mark the perfect man. It's not talking about sinless. It's talking about the upright, righteous person who's trusting in the Lord. You mark that person. You keep your eye on that person, and that'll get you through these problems that we have in life. Now, we actually have an opportunity. If you'll join me in song, I think we have about 5 minutes left. What we've been trying to do at home is we've been trying to take the wording of the Psalms, and we're going to be singing the wording of Psalm 37, the first six verses. So the basic wording that is in the first six verses of Psalm 37, we're going to sing that, to the tune of I'm Not Ashamed to Own My Lord. So help me sing this evening, and then we will close. This is the wording of Psalm 37, 1 through 6, to the tune of I'm Not Ashamed. And we've been trying in our class to build on all of the Psalms have songs to sing at the end of the class. And so that's been very encouraging to us, and you may be encouraged as well. Let's sing together. Have no disturbing thoughts about those doing wickedly, and be not envious of those who work iniquity. For even like the growing grass, soon be cut down shall they, and like the green and tender plant, they all shall fade away. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, continue doing good. Dwell thou securely in the land, make faithfulness thy food. Joy in the Lord, He'll grant each gift for which thy heart may call. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust Him, He'll do it all. And like the morning light He shall thy righteousness display, and He thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Thank you, brother.